Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
And there's still lots of you getting in touch with us here in the News Talk text line about the personal services reopening in the north this coming weekend. This listener says, I live in a town. I've seen men come out of barbers. I know of at least three hairdressers that are doing hair from home in their own houses. A beautician that has a sunbed in her house. You can see women with haircuts and colours all fresh. My mother's in her 70s and her friends are all getting their hair done too. It's really frustrating when a few of us have stuck so rigidly to the restrictions. The guards aren't stopping people because they aren't vaccinated. So why should they bother? You can keep them coming into us on 53106. Now, the Minister for Higher Education, Simon Harris, is here with us on the programme to chat about the rollout of this new apprenticeship scheme. Minister, thanks for joining us on the show today. We might chat about the apprenticeships in just a moment, but can I just actually ask you about that? Because we were talking to some business owners, beauty salon owners here in the past couple of minutes, mainly operating in the north, but with clientele in the south. One business owner, a hairdresser in Enniskillen in Fermanagh, told us there in the past couple of minutes that 20% of his clientele, his customers now for the next 5-6 weeks, up to about the middle of June, are all coming mainly from border areas, the southern counties. Just what's your own view on that?
Yeah, look, I suppose we know that once different parts of the island, I suppose, start doing different things, we've encountered these challenges at a variety of stages during the pandemic. What I would say to people here, as somebody who is looking forward to the barbers opening myself, I mean, I would say we have indicated that in the month of May, we will be looking at retail, we'll be looking at what we describe as personal services and the rest of construction. So next week, probably on Tuesday, but certainly at some stage next week, the government will meet and it will basically put the plan in place for May, and I also hope for June and July, and we'll be able to indicate to people when things will be reopening. So I would be saying to people, you know, sit tight for another couple of weeks. We should be hopefully seeing the resumption of personal services in the month of May.
Okay, just when you mention that and you talk about May, I mean, do you envisage that it'd be the likes of the full reopening of construction and other retail and personal services?
Yeah, I've got to be careful and overly speculating here. But what I would say, Andrea, is we're in better shape in relation to COVID-19 now than we've been in a hell of a long time. I feel more hopeful and optimistic than I have in many, many months. And you know the reasons for that. The hospital numbers are down, the case numbers are down, the vaccine numbers are going up. So I would hope, the government said in May we'd like to see the rest of construction back, we'd like to see retail open, and we'd like to see personal services open. I would think we're on track for that, but I suppose I should caveat it with we need to see how this week goes. And also then it'll probably be on a phased basis. You're unlikely to see everything come back on one day in May. If you remember this month, we phased things in, you know, something happens in 1 week, then something else happens another week. So I'd say there's a very decent chance of a phased reopening in the month of May. But I hope we can do better than that. You know, I think we need to try and give people a bit of detail about what June and July look like as well.
Okay. We might come back to that in just a few moments' time, because there's already people, Minister, texting in with questions.
Sure.
You know, looking forward to getting to the hairdressers and the barbers themselves too. We want to talk about this new apprenticeship scheme that you've announced.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Look, I feel really strongly on this. We have to move away from this elitist, snobby attitude we've kind of developed maybe during the Celtic Tiger years around education in Ireland, where we're asking our young people nearly to pick the name of the university before we actually ask them what they want to do with their lives. Apprenticeships are a really, really good pathway of getting you a career you want. And we have the traditional apprenticeships, the craft ones, if I might call them that. But we also have apprenticeships in so many other areas, science, pharma, engineering, ICT. And what we're doing today is launching a new plan to basically make sure we double the number of apprenticeships in our country every year by 2025. So at the moment, we've about 5,000 people a year register for apprenticeships in Ireland. We want to get to 10,000 by 2025. And there's really five things we're going to do in the plan.
So okay.
Double the numbers is one. Secondly, broaden the range. So there's different job opportunities through apprenticeships. Thirdly, increase gender diversity, because traditionally it's been very male orientated. Fourthly, tell the public sector to stop lecturing businesses and actually step up and do some itself. So setting a target for how many public sector apprentices can be taken on. There's an opportunity for every council, every government department, every state agency to play a role. And then fifthly, you can't have apprenticeships if you don't have employers. So providing much greater financial assistance for employers, a core grant every year for each apprentice they take on.
So will you pay self-employed or private employers to basically run an apprenticeship programme?
Yes, we will. So we already pay a number of apprentices for what they call the off-the-job training time. It's a grant of roughly somewhere around €3,000 a year, varies slightly from programme to programme. I want to broaden that out from 2022 to give a payment to every employer who takes on an apprentice of around €3,000 per apprentice per year. It's good for business, obviously, but it also recognises the fact that, you know, there's a fair bit of work in taking on an apprentice, and you also don't have them there all the time because they obviously have to do the educational part as well. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely, we will, is the short answer.
That €3,000 that you're talking about, I mean, I presume that will just be this apprenticeship scheme. Is it just going to be, you know, rolled out or operated in certain sectors?
So, yeah, I mean, we've 60 apprenticeship programmes as of now, and we've 18 more in the pipeline. But one of the things we'll be doing as part of the action plan is identifying other areas where we could do with apprenticeships. So without reading out a big long list,
yeah.
I mean, we're developing apprenticeships. I'll give you an example here for bar managers, for farm managers, for people working in scaffolding, but also in the green economy for people working on the maintenance of wind turbines. You can also, and I should say this, you can also go on and do your master's and your PhD in a number of areas as an apprentice. So there's a level 9 advanced quantity surveyor apprenticeship being developed and an equipment services engineer. So in areas of the economy where we have a skills need, we'll be looking to develop new programs because not everybody, I mean, not everyone can pack the bags and head to college for 4 years. Mm. Some people do need to earn and learn at the same time. And this will provide lots of opportunities for them.
Yeah. You talked about that kind of, you know, a little bit of an elitist snobbery, you know, attitude that there sometimes is when people are finishing school. Mm. Will this programme be open to people who've maybe completed their college studies or maybe they'd like to go back and do it now for the first time? Will it be open to kind of, if you want to call them post-grad or mature students as well, or is it just for people solely coming out of school?
No, a really good point. It'll be open to both. So it'll be open to school leavers directly. And you may be aware I'm planning on reforming the CAO form. So a school leaver at 17 can see all other options, not just university, but can see further education, can see apprenticeships. But it will also be open to what we call career changers or people returning to the workforce as well. So there's absolutely no age limit. And indeed, I was with a female apprentice this morning, Rosario, who works in the National Gallery of Ireland as an accounting technician. She's returned to education in her 40s and said very openly at the event this morning, you know, didn't have an opportunity to do some of the training she wanted when she was rearing a young family and now is very much back at it. And, you know, we need to make sure we support people with work like that.
You mentioned there as well the that kind of gender divide that there sometimes is through apprenticeship programmes in specific areas, and you want to try and kind of even out that imbalance. How do you plan to do that?
Couple of ways. One is, I suppose, making it more visible will make a difference. So I've chatted to a lot of female apprentices who say they weren't made aware of apprenticeships as an opportunity at a young age. So that's one way. But the second way is with hard cash. We're going to put in place an extra incentive, an extra financial incentive for any employer who takes on an apprentice where there's 80% representation of men. So in other words, 19 of our programs at the moment have 80% male apprentices. And any of those programs who take on a female apprentice will get an extra financial support.
So if you have a welding company and
correct.
they now take on a female apprentice, they'll get more than the €3,000.
So this is from 2022, but the plan is yes, that they'd get the core grants that everybody would get, but they'd also get a specific bursary for taking on the female apprentice. I mean, look, I have figures here. We won't have time to go through them all, but the amount of programs that are 100% male apprentice, carpentry, plumbing, agricultural mechanics, cabinet making, engineering, service management, plastering. The only area that has more than 80% female is hairdressing at the moment. So I want to try and really redress that imbalance. I've met incredible women working in apprenticeships and really enjoying it and getting an awful lot out of it. We just need to make it more visible, and we do need to positively discriminate here, quite frankly, to try and even up the divide over the next couple of years.
Okay, a lot of messages coming into us here just even about this apprenticeship scheme. Actually, Minister, if you don't mind, I might put some of them to you. John in Mullingar, for instance, is texting. He says, I own an engineering company with two apprentices. I don't need the €3,000 per apprentice. The problem that we have is trying to compete with the colleges. Should they have a place in education, but we also advertise for apprentices, we get two or three applicants, and usually these are people with degrees coming back to try and get an apprenticeship. I've advertised a job for a marketing position last month. We got 64 applications. Pushy parents and misguided career guidance teachers have a lot to answer for. What would you say to John?
Well, I suppose I'd use a bit of, my language would be slightly different, but I would talk about the need for cultural change. I mean, we do need, and one of the things I'm trying to do today with this plan is not just launch a plan, but kind of kick off a conversation with the mums and dads around Ireland about the cultural change that needs to happen. I mean, we need to be asking our young people, what job would you like? What career would you like? And then we need to be setting out to the, for them the three or four or five, and often there are three or four or five different ways they can get that job and that career. I feel in our schools at the moment, and no fault on the schools, we're only talking about the traditional university route often. And people only come to apprenticeships or further education, maybe if the college experience hasn't worked out. And we know there's a massive dropout rate in colleges.
Mm.
So I would agree with the point that John talks about, you know, not wanting to kind of have apprenticeships competing with colleges, but actually have the whole thing working together. And that's why I'm planning on basically replacing the CAO form with a form that shows our young people all of their options.
Okay. Just leaving the apprenticeships programme maybe aside for one moment, you are obviously the Minister for Higher Education.
Yes.
When will the college students minister, when will they go back? Or when will the first years even get inside a lecture hall?
So the short answer and the honest answer is the new academic year in September. Now there might be, I'm constantly meeting our colleges every Friday, along with our student representatives and our staff representatives. And, you know, there may be some discretion to invite small groups of first-year students in to at least see the campus. And that's something I'm trying to push so that people can at least feel a link. But the honest answer is, I think we're going to be able to see a significant return to what I call on-campus education in the new college year, which starts in September.
For everybody?
Yeah. Now, why do I think that? For two reasons. One, the vaccine programme. So if you look at the government's own targets, we're saying 80% of adults, people over the age of 16, will have been offered a vaccine by the end of June. We're seeing the benefits of vaccination already. And then the second thing I've done in the last couple of weeks is I've announced a number of programmes where we're going to try rapid testing, and rapid testing in student accommodation and rapid testing on-campus attendance as well. So I would think between rolling out rapid testing and vaccination, we are going to see much more on-site attendance. But look, the honest answer is in the month of June, I'm going to provide people with a comprehensive update. I had a meeting last Friday with students, with staff, with college management, to set up a working group. And in June, we'll be able to provide a lot of detail. A lot of this comes down to at the moment, for example, you have to have the 2 meter rule. That limits, obviously, the number of people who can even fit in. With the benefit of vaccines and rapid testing, you know, could you see 1 meter, for example? So these are some of the things we're working our way through. But I do want students to know, and their parents, you know, this idea of next year being all about looking down a Zoom camera in your box room or at your corner of your kitchen table is not what we're planning at all.
Yeah, but you envisage at where we're at the moment, and with the kind of predicted rollout, that the first year students of 2021, that they will actually start in college.
In the new academic year.
Yeah, the new academic year.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, so to be really clear, the plan we are working towards is getting our students back on campus in September.
Irrespective of whether you're first, second, third, fourth year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Just when you talk there about the vaccines and in your own role, a lot of chat over the weekend about this rollout of the vaccine programme for the under 30s or the 18 to 30 year olds. And I know that was ruled out then subsequently. But as the Minister for Higher Education, you know, was that the right move, do you think?
I think the right move is to follow the public health advice. And I mean, the advice is very, very clear from our medical experts. They've said do it in age cohorts. And really, at this stage, what I think we need to do is not keep commenting on the programme, but just get on and deliver it, get jabs in arms as quickly as possible. As I've said, the current rollout already sees over 80% of our adults, and of course, that includes much younger people, getting their first vaccine by the end of June. We're seeing huge benefits from vaccines. So, look, there's been a lot of chopping and changing. Some of it's been necessary on the basis of medical advice. Some of it's been necessary because of supply. Things seem to actually be going quite well with the vaccine programme now. And I certainly got the clear impression from my own constituents over the weekend that they just want us now to get on with it and not keep changing the programme.
Yeah, because I was listening to some of the experts, you know, over the last couple of days, like Kingston Mills and Luke O'Neill and others, saying that actually, you know, this thing of giving the 18 to 30-year-olds the vaccine a little bit earlier wouldn't be a bad idea at all, that actually that is something we should look at. But kind of seems that over the weekend, politics got in the way of that.
Well, I'd say it a different way. Look, I have huge time for Luke and Kingston, and they're great people. But I mean, we have a group of medical experts who advise us on the vaccine. They're called the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, and we're taking their advice. So rather than kind of just making political decisions here, we're following the medical advice very closely. And I think on balance, that's the right thing to do. Now, fingers crossed, hopefully Europe gets good news this week about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You'll remember we're due to receive 600,000 of them this quarter. That's the single dose vaccine. So hopefully this week could actually see some additional vaccine if we get good news on that. So look, I think things are going, and I know it's been really frustrating for people, but I think things are actually going much better than they have been for an awful long time with COVID. And I really do think we're getting there. And that's why I'm saying to young people today, I think they can now look forward to a summer that has much more freedoms than we've had in the last number of weeks and months, and to a college year that, you know, like I say, won't just involve the Zoom camera.
Yeah. Just on that, when you mentioned the vaccine as well, the Sunday Business Post had a story yesterday about, you know, the time limit between the doses of the Pfizer vaccine, that if we were to do that, if we could bring that forward, we'd actually reach our target nearly even a month earlier.
I understand that's one of the things that the National Immunisation Advisory Committee are considering. Now, again, that's something we could only do if it was medically advised. The logic is, if you space it out a little bit more, you can get more people their first jab quicker. But obviously that means people have to wait a little bit longer for their second jab. So I'd say two things. I mean, one, the medics are going to look at it and they'll advise us. But secondly, if you've already gotten your first jab and have been given an appointment for your second, your appointment certainly won't change. So even if a change does come, it won't affect people who've already got an appointment for their second vaccine.
Okay, I know we're talking to you today mainly really about the apprenticeship scheme, and you'll be glad to know, Minister, there's more messages in on that. Sure. A female electrician has texted in here and she says, will you please ask the Minister how many female apprentices there will be each year from this scheme? There's barely any women in craft apprenticeships. Nothing's changing. Same old lip service.
No, I don't agree with that at all, but I'm delighted to hear from a female apprentice. So I got a briefing note, Andrea. There were 26, I mean, this is not a typo in my notes, there were 26 female apprentices registered in Ireland in 2015. There are now over 1,000. I mean, 26 is paltry, right? 1,000 is still not nearly good enough. What we're saying is, for the very first time, we're going to significantly expand the financial incentives to employers to take on female apprentices. And what we're also going to do is, we're going to set a specific target in 2022. So rather than me lecturing anybody or telling anybody what the target should be, we're going to engage with female apprentices, we're going to engage with groups like the National Women's Council, and we're going to set a target for where we want the female apprenticeship number to be at the end of the lifetime of the plan. But it has gone from a pathetically low 26 in 2015 to just over 1,000 now.
You know, this may not be a question for you, it might be more for the Department of Education, but this listener says, my son is interested in woodwork, but the school don't have enough interest, and therefore it isn't offered as a leaving cert subject. All of the emphasis is on college when he was choosing his leaving cert subjects. Could more be done there?
Yeah, it is a question for education, but I mean, the point I would give, and I think we see it on the front of the Irish Times this morning, the Department of Education is reviewing what they call the senior cycle curriculum, the leaving cert basically, and I certainly believe, as Minister for Further and Higher Education, you know, we didn't have a leaving cert last year and the world continued to rotate on its axis. You know, people learn in very different ways. Some people are great at the rote learning, going in, you know, cramming as much in your mind and doing it in a written exam. Others aren't, but they're equally talented and bright. And I think we have to come up with a better system of helping people get from secondary school to third level, even if they're not, you know, as good at their written exam as some other people might be.
Okay, Higher Education Minister Simon Harris, thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.